You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
I love church. Man, I love church. What happens, the friendships, the laughter, I love that stuff. It makes you feel like it's a family, which is the goal. Not gathering, but family. And, our last Sunday night of the year, and believing it's going to be really special tonight. Believing that God's going to do something magnificent in your life. I can feel the presence of God, and God's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to change you. Actually, Brock, why don't you lift your hands up? Why don't I just start with that? Sitting in the baby seats. I see you. No, it's not good. He's got a baby. Just probably out back doing something bad. Just kidding. No, you're so proud of you, man. So proud of you. And I just see, 2016 has obviously been a year of great surprises and great blessings, but it's also been a year of great trials and fights and battles. And I know this for your life. It's see a picture of a grip. In wrestling, they would teach us a grip, and it was a grip that they would say couldn't be broken. And what I see is even though it's been difficult, you've held on. You've held on. It's not necessarily about being the best. It's okay. Who can hold on? Jacob is wrestling God. He says, I will not let go until you bless me. I will not let go. And that's the same spirit that's in you. One of the greatest things about him was that he wasn't saying how gifted or how talented, just that he would not let go. And because of that, you're about to step into it. So put away, and you'll constantly have thoughts of, well, maybe it's better here, or maybe it's different here, or maybe it's, but just don't let go. Just don't let go. Hold on. Keep fighting. Stay the course. God, I thank you for this mighty man, for his family. Come. Yeah, with just stand next to him. She came out. Just hold hands. Hold hands. God, we thank you right now for this incredible family, that your hand is on them. God, I thank you that the battle and the struggle of 2016 will be the victories and the miracles of 2017. God, we thank you. We rejoice for them and with them for what you're about to do. More exceedingly, abundantly, above is the word of God for your life. On their family, let joy and peace be present in their home at all times. See people coming into your homes. I see you guys bringing a unique set of people and couples and unique backgrounds into your home, and people who couldn't disciple them and couldn't lead them, you guys being able to lead them and speak into their life and disciple them. Never, ever, ever think that that's not for you, that that's for the elite or for this person and that, and you're not good enough for that. No, God says, no, he has something specific for you. You will disciple, you will lead, you will pastor, you will look after, you will develop people, you will train people, you will equip people, you will pray for people, you will minister to people. That's God's design and plan for your guys' life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a hand tonight. All right, you can take your seat. Let's do it tonight. Thank you so much, team, band. Phenomenal job. Thank you to the guys in the back on the sound booth, on the computers, on the light board, on all of that stuff. Those incredible strobe lights were brought to you by the lighting and production team. So you're welcome. If you started, shaking a little bit, that is thanks to them. We love it. We love all the lights. We love the production. All that stuff is good. Is it necessary? Yes. Sure. I think so. You don't go see Star Wars with the lights on. Just saying. You better not see it with the lights on. Just telling you, you're missing out on a whole lot of good stuff. All right. Hey, open up your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, last Sunday night of the year, last Sunday of our Unwrap series, and last time to kind of preach about Christmas before the New Year's. And so the title of my message today is A Christmas Story. A Christmas Story. You're going to see and ask, what does this apply to Christmas, or how does it apply to Christmas? And I'll show you. So 1 Chronicles, I'm going to get there. I had myself there, lost the place. Hey, can I tell you as well, New Year's Eve, there's flyers at the info booth. Is all our youth and young adults, college guys will be here partying. New Year's Eve, North Campus from 10 to 1 or whatever, something, or all night. Who knows? They're going to go crazy. They're nuts. They don't stop. They don't sleep. They don't eat. Actually, no, they eat and they don't sleep. It's the craziest thing. So, hey, come to that. That's happening here, 10 to 1. Bring teenagers. Bring people you know. Get college students here. It will be the best way to ring in the new year is by worshiping and praising God and encountering God. So, because the truth of it is they will go and party somewhere. They're not just going to stay home. It just doesn't happen. They're going to go somewhere and do something. It might as well be here. And it's not lame. I don't know what kind of New Year's Eve parties you've been to, but ours are not lame. We're going to have carnival rides here. Like the ones that will make you throw up. Some of you are like, that sounds horrible. Others are like, yes. So they said, get people here. It's going to be, no, she's not. She will have baby by then. In Jesus' name, but not yet. Not yet. That's from Gladiator. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 11. This is titled as A Christmas Story. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 22. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. Verse 23, and he killed an Egyptian, a man of great height, 5 cubits tall. In the Egyptian's hand, there was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. The kind of part I want to focus on, the reason I'm calling it A Christmas Story is because we're in a Christmas series, so I figure I had to call it that. And the only way I'm tying it in is because in this story, it's snowing. Hey, listen, you ever think about snow? Every time you think about snow, it's around Christmas time, all right? So if I make you picture snow, you're picturing Christmas. So this is a Christmas story. This is Benaiah's Christmas story. So I need you just to go with me because this is going to help you tonight. And you're like, how does this have to do with, it has everything to do with Christmas. It's snowing outside. It doesn't snow in summer. You ever seen it snow in summer? No. It snows at Christmas time. So this is Benaiah's Christmas story tonight, and I want to break this down for you because we're at the end of the year. We're at the end of the year, and I don't want to start 2016 and wait for January, wait for February to get everything in order. In fact, we live in a time where that's how we do it. Well, the first of the year, then I'll change some patterns. The first of the year, then I'll change some habits. The first of the year, then I'll fix some issues and problems. But I kind of have this philosophy that why wait for tomorrow? What can be done today? I know it sounds really smart. It's actually from Proverbs. Don't put off for tomorrow. What can be done today? So I figured, why don't we fix some things before we start some things? Why don't we decide to end the year on a high note instead of begin the year on a high note? We can do both, but why don't we finish the last Sunday night of the year in a place where we're going to defeat some lions like Benaiah did? We're going to defeat some Egyptians like Benaiah did. We're going to do some things that are impossible. Tonight, I don't want to just inspire you and say, well, you're going to have to wait till the beginning of the year, and then we'll tell you how to defeat the giants. Why don't we defeat them before the first of the year, so at the first of the year, you hit the ground running? You got a jump start on the enemy. You get a jump start on your future. So we're going to do that tonight. Now, you might be thinking here, well, you know, I don't really have any lions. Well, you actually, if you don't have any lions or giants to defeat, then you are called to defeat somebody else's. So it doesn't matter which way you put it and how you read this scripture, every single person, regardless how old you are or young you are, have a place in a role to play in this thing called defeating the giants and the lions. It might not be your lion, but it definitely will be somebody else's. Maybe you're called to defeat somebody else's giant. Maybe you're called to defeat somebody else's lion. So I want to tell you this Christmas story, and I want to walk you through Benaiah here and what he did and how he did it and how you and I can do that as well. See, I don't want to take my same problems and my same mistakes and my same junk from this year into 2017. I don't want to take the same issues with me. I don't want to take the same problems and the same addictions and those same issues and things that I dealt with this year. I don't want to take those same things with me into 2017. I want to end the year right so I can start the year in a better place. I want to end it right. How do you want it to end? How do you want to finish 2016? You might think, well, the last 11 and a half months have been hell. Well, the last 2 weeks can be heaven. Who says that you have to just ride off the year? Don't ride off the year, because God is not done with the year yet. As long as there's 1 second left in the year, God can do a miracle. As long as there's 1 moment left in the year, God can do something exceptional. But there's some lions in our life that we have to learn how to take out so that we can enter next year in the best place. Let's start next year in the best place. What we see here about Benaiah is before he killed the lion, he had to kill two lion-like other people. See, in our lives, if we want to take out the real lion, the real giant, the big thing, there are some other battles that we have to fight along the way. And those small battles are not meant to take you out. They're actually meant to develop you for the big battle. He says he killed some lion-like heroes, and then he killed a lion. It's the lion-like heroes that develop you for the lions. It's the awkward conversations you have with your Connect leader that he calls you up and says, hey, where you been? Hey, what's happening in your life? How come you're not at church? How come you show up once a month like church is some sporting event that you go to? It's those moments, those awkward things where he tells you, hey, how come you're not serving on a team here? How come you're not serving in a service and soaking in a service? How come you're just showing up when you feel like it? It's those times where you feel like, man, that hurts a little bit. Well, that's just a lion-like thing that you have to defeat. Maybe that's pride. Maybe that's a little addiction, or maybe whatever that is, that's meant you. We have to face those things and defeat those things in order for us to stand in the place where the real battle and the real fight is going to be. It's a lot of exhibition bouts before we get to the main thing. We have to fight some small battles. We have to fight some small things. We have to end maybe some difficult and abusive relationships so that we can enter next year and actually defeat the lion. Because there's some things, there's some thorns in our side. There's some things in our feet. There's some issues in our life that if we don't deal with those, we will never defeat the cult, the giant that God has on our lives. See, I don't want my chaos to ruin my calling. I don't want the chaos that I face to ruin the calling that God has for me. All of us have some chaos, and we have to defeat the chaos so that the calling can stay there. If we don't defeat the chaos, then we'll never step into our calling. See, the only way for him to defeat the big lion was for him to defeat the lion-like. God will put some of those things in your life just to prepare you. God doesn't put those things in your life to take you out. He only puts those things in your life to prepare you. He only puts those things. He only identifies those things. He brings the things to the surface so we can see, oh my goodness, here's some areas. That's why in church, we will not just tell you what you want to hear. We will tell you what you need to hear. That's why sometimes you sit here and you feel like, why is he poking that hurt spot on me? When will he stop talking about offering? When will he stop talking about serving? When will he stop talking about money? You want to know why so many people don't like it that we talk about money? Because they got an issue. They got an issue. If you're generous, I promise you, you don't care. If it's difficult for you, then that's probably identifying a lion-like hero that you got to take out. Something that you have to deal with, something that you have to eradicate. Why? Because that's a ceiling over our life. So our job as leaders, as pastors, is to bring some things to the surface, help you get rid of those things. So in 2017, we know that there's going to be a giant that you're going to face for yourself, or there's going to be a giant that you are facing for somebody else. And unless we prepare you for the giant or the lion, that thing's going to take you out. But it's never meant to take you out. You are meant to take it out. That's why David looks at Goliath and he says this. He says, I know you think you're going to defeat me, but today I'm going to take your head from your shoulders. I'm going to give your body to the birds of the air, to the beasts. You're going to see this, that thing that's meant to take me out, I'm going to take it out. Why? Because when nobody was looking, I was worshiping. When nobody was looking, I was dealing with my lion-like heroes. I was dealing with my bears and my lions. I was dealing with these things in my life. When nobody was looking, I was sitting with my connect leader saying, hey, what is it that you see in me that can keep me from taking down my lion? Can you identify it and pull it out of me? Why do we wait for people to correct us? Why don't we ask them, hey, is there anything, is there any issue in my life? Is there anything that you see that is keeping a ceiling over my world? How can you help me pull that thing out? Because next year I know there's a lion I got to defeat, and I don't want that little thing determining the great miracle that I'm gonna have and the lion I'm going to take out. So what I want to do tonight is I want us to know that we have to take out these lion-like heroes before we can actually take out the lions. We got to deal with the little things. We got to deal with the little insecurities, the pride that I've been in church for so many years and I have this degree, and this person gets promoted over me. This person is leading over me. Don't they know my gift? I'm just being honest. All those that are lion-like heroes, the things that God wants to deal with in us, because every single one of you, regardless of where you're at, has a lion that you have to take out, has a giant to take out, not just to set you free, but to set other people free. So we have to deal with the small things. So I want to share with you five observations that I saw from Benaiah and what he did. Christmas story. First thing is this, you know, like I said, he had to deal with his lion-like heroes. That's not the first one, but that's kind of introduction. First thing that he had to do to take out the lion was observation that I made in reading this scripture was that his fight with the lion actually wasn't self-defense. Do you know that it wasn't the lion attacking him? It wasn't him walking through the woods and the lion jumped on him. It wasn't him minding his own business. It wasn't him in his village and then a lion came in and tried to attack the village and he defended himself. The battle with the lion was not self-defense. The battle with the lion was Benaiah saying, hey, listen, the lion might not be an issue today, but it might be an issue tomorrow. So before it becomes an issue, I'm going to deal with it. Now, let me tell you what I'm meaning by this. If we want to defeat some lions, why are we waiting for it to be a problem? Why do we wait for that thing to be a problem before we deal with it? Well, why don't we act like Benaiah and say, listen, it's not a problem today, but I've seen this thing before in other people's lives. I've seen this issue in somebody else's marriage. I've seen this issue in somebody else's business. So before it's a problem, I'm going to deal with it. Before it causes harm, I'm going to kill it. See, we have this thing saying, well, as long as it's not doing any harm, then I'm not going to deal with it. But that's not what I see in my Bible, and that is not the best way to set us up for success for 2017. Why should we wait until it's a problem to deal with it? Why should we wait for it to cause our marriage harm before we get it out of there? Why do we wait for it to before it ruins us financially for us to eradicate that thing? Why do we wait for that relationship to do us damage before we part ways with that person? Why do we do that? Why can't we be like Benaiah? Benaiah says this, I've noticed this lion. And what I know about lions is they're not here to cuddle me. They're not here to make me feel good. They're not here to make me coffee. They're not here to make me money. Some of you are in a bad business deal right now with somebody. And you know in your heart that that lion is not there to actually, he's not there to take your money to make more money. He's there to take your money to make him more money. And there's a lion walking around, and Benaiah says this, that this lion isn't doing anything yet, because I bet there's some people, you know, I'm not going to call them by names, but the animal lovers are looking at this lion, and they're looking, saying, hey, he hasn't done anything yet. Why would you take him out? Benaiah says, I'm not going to kill him because of what he has done. I'm going to kill him because of what he might do, because I've seen this before. I've seen this issue before. I've seen this problem before. I've seen what happens before. If you let this kind of thing go too long, if you let this insecurity go too long, that soon it will no longer just walk around and observe. It will now walk into and kill. So before it goes to kill, I'm going to deal with it while it's just looking. I'm going to deal with the pride before it surfaces. I'm going to deal with the insecurity before it surfaces. Well, I'm not stealing yet. Well, I haven't done anything bad yet. Well, I haven't actually sinned yet. Well, it's not an addiction yet. It might not be an addiction yet, but if you let that lion roam around your camp for too long, then soon it's going to turn into something, and it's a lot harder to kill when it's chewing on your leg. It's a lot harder to kill when it's got its mouth around your throat and you can't breathe. It's a lot easier to hunt it than it hunting you. So I want to kill some things. Why don't we end 2017 by killing some things that might have tried to take us out? Why don't we kill it before it even thinks about us? I bet this lion was minding its own business. It wasn't even thinking about Benaiah yet. But Benaiah said, listen, before it even thinks about me, before it even looks at me, before it has even planned its strategy to attack me, I'm going to take that thing out, because surprise is my best weapon. So what if tonight, what if by the end of this service, we can deal with some things that maybe weren't going for us and maybe didn't have their eyes set on us, but maybe sometime in our life they would have tried to go after us. Why don't we deal with it before it even shows its face and identifies that it might be a weakness in our life? And we take it out. Dealing with a problem when we have the problem is a lot harder than dealing with it before we do. So Benaiah, the first thing I observed is that he didn't wait for it to attack him, he attacked it. Second thing I see about Benaiah is after he goes to find it, in order for him to defeat it, he builds a pit. He builds a pit. What is the pit? The pit is a place where when the lion falls into it, the lion can't get out of it. Which means he created a space with a mindset of it ends here. Regardless of what happens, it's going to end here. It can't run. I can't run. No matter what happens before the night is over, it ends here. There has to be moments in our life where we've been battling something for so long and we make a decision to dig a pit and say, I'm going to step into that thing with the enemy, and before I leave this thing, it's going to end. Make a decision that it will not take you out. Don't put it in a place where you can get away from it. Stand in a place where you admit it, where you confess it, where you say, listen, before I leave C3 San Diego on Sunday night, before I leave this place, I'm going to deal with this thing. I'm going to deal with this lion. I'm going to dig a pit that it can't get away from me, and I can't get away from it. Well, we're going to stand face to face and toe to toe, and I'm going to fight this thing, and I'm going to make that determining factor that it ends here. It ends here tonight. What's the insecurity? What's the battle? What's the stronghold? Like I said, maybe you're good tonight. Maybe everything's great in your life. Well, then maybe that thing that you need to fight is somebody else's battle. Do you know, a long time ago, I had a really, really good friend, and they got into a marriage that they probably shouldn't have got into, and it started going sideways only a couple weeks after it started. And I remember the destruction this girl was doing to one of my really good friends and how she was destroying his life. And after, just a couple days after the marriage started, she already had an affair. And it was a horrible situation, a horrible circumstance. And I could feel that the grip of the enemy on his life, and it was destroying him because he was in love with her, but she wasn't really loving him. And it was only weeks after they had been married. And I remember one day I felt so much battle and a stronghold on the inside of me that I was driving home from work one day, and I just felt like I needed to pray for him. So literally 30 minutes as I was driving home, I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I was shouting at the devil. I was commanding him to get his grip off of my friend's life, that this thing was not going to destroy him, that this thing was not going to end him, that he wasn't going to feel defeated from this thing. And I remember standing, and it felt like I was in a pit where I was toe-to-toe with the devil, and I said, hey, listen, before I get out of my car today, we're going to deal with this thing. Before I'm done praying, we're going to deal with this thing. Before I'm going to keep praying until I feel a release. I'm going to keep praying until I feel victory. I'm going to keep believing until I feel like this thing is done. I'm going to keep doing that. Honest to God, at that moment, I kept praying and I felt it. I felt a release. I felt a shift. I felt like something broke off of this person's life. That marriage sadly ended, but now that person is married, has kids, and is in one of the best relationships and marriages I have ever seen. But I wonder what would have happened if I didn't pray. Now, I'm not saying that's me. I'm just saying maybe there's a lion that you need to fight. Maybe there's a pit you need to dig, not for you, but for your friend. Maybe you need to dig a pit tonight for your husband. Maybe you need to dig a pit tonight for your son. Maybe you need to dig a pit tonight for your neighbor. Maybe you need to dig a pit tonight for your dad. Maybe you need to dig a pit tonight for somebody that you don't even know yet. I wonder if you came forward tonight and said, hey, I don't got nobody, but I'm going to dig a pit for the person I don't know yet. I'm going to dig a pit for that person who's getting abused right now. I'm going to dig a pit for that person that doesn't know me, doesn't even know about C3 Church, but I'm going to dig a pit tonight for them. And before I leave this place, devil, you're going to release your grip off of their life, because it ends here. Benaiah says this, I'm going to go after you. I'm going to dig a pit. I'm going to create a space where you can't get away from me. See, if the devil can't defeat you, he's going to run from you. So why don't we just eradicate him instead of exile him? Why don't we kill the thing instead of ignore the thing? So that's what I observed from Benaiah. Number three I observed from Benaiah is he chose a snowy day, not a perfect day, not a San Diego summer, but like a Minnesota winter. I don't know if you guys are from areas like that. You're crazy. But now I know why you're here. I lived in Illinois for 9 months, and for those 9 months, I felt like my eyeballs were going to freeze. Literally, I closed my eyes when I went outside. I'm like, I don't know. If I open my eyes, I'm going to lose my eyesight. That's how cold it is. It's next level cold. It's cold that you can't even imagine. It was like 69 degrees in here, and I'm like, is it going to snow? San Diego spoils us. So, but Benaiah chooses a snowy day to fight the lion. Think, why a snowy day? I think we'd have the advantage, don't you think? Why that time? And before I would preach that it's not only in the perfect time that we fight. It's not only in the convenient time that we kill the lions. It's not just in the time where everything's right that we're going to be fighting. Because the devil doesn't just attack you when it's perfect conditions. I know we wish he would, but he usually comes after us in our weakest state. So I think that is part of it, but I wanted to give a little bit deeper revelation because I think a lot of us will see that. But I think Benaiah had some strategy, because to defeat that lion, Benaiah knew he needed to have some strategy. Because men don't just kill lions. It's just, unless you're from that movie Ghost in the Darkness, you're not killing lions with your bare hands. It's not something that you do. But Benaiah knew this. Listen, in order for me to defeat this thing that other people are scared of, I have to have a strategy. So I believe Benaiah waited for it to snow because the lions in that time was probably a tiger or a lion. And if you know anything about them, their vision is like binoculars where so they can see depth and the light affects them. And the best the times that they hunt the most is at dawn and at dusk because of the lack of light. And the lack of light, they can actually see a lot better. So what happens is on a snowy day in those conditions, when it's a lion like that, it actually affects its vision so much because of how bright the sun is on the snow because of the conditions. Of how it is where it can no longer see depth the right way. So Benaiah says this, I'm going to choose a time where it was unlikely for me to fight this thing, that doesn't look convenient for me to fight this thing. I'm going to choose a time that looks difficult, that people tell me I'm crazy, but I'm doing it so I can get the advantage over this person. I'm doing it so I can get the advantage over somebody that on the perfect conditions would have taken me out. So what does that mean for us? You and I have to be strategic when we're fighting an enemy that might seem greater than us. What do I mean? That means you need to get somebody with you, maybe. Maybe not just you fighting it. Maybe you can be strategic when you're fighting that thing. Get somebody with you and say, hey, I don't think I can defeat this giant by myself. I don't think I can defeat this lust by myself. I don't think I can defeat this addiction by myself. I've thought for so long I can do it by myself, but I don't think I can. So I'm gonna use a different strategy this time. I'm going to go and I'm going to face the enemy, but I'm not just going to go by myself. No, I'm going to go with my friend. I'm going to go with my connect leader. I'm going to go with my pastor. I'm going to go with somebody else so that I have the upper hand on this enemy that seems greater to me. If we want to defeat the lions before the end of this year, we have to have a different strategy. Because guess what? The strategy that you've been doing for 2016 has obviously not worked. So why don't we try something different? Why don't we approach it in a different way and say, you know what? This battle I've been doing by myself is obviously not working. And the keys come up. So what if I make a decision to do it differently? What if I call up my leader and say, listen, I got a pride issue? What if I call him up and say, hey, listen, I have an addiction. I have a lust. I have a thing that I've been trying to defeat by myself, but I cannot. Can you stand with me? So the next time I face that lion, he's going to look at me the same way he's always looked at me. But what he doesn't see is a new strategy that I came with. Because now I got somebody else. And where two or more are gathered, there he is. So it's not just your friend you bring with you. It's an almighty God. And you bring him with you in the pit on a snowy day when people tell you you're crazy. And you come and you defeat that lion before it even thinking about trying to take you out. You take it out. Why it's still little. Why it's still in its infant stage. Why it still looks, well, it's harmless. It's harmless. Maybe you got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and maybe you've been in the back seat of the car a little too long. Like, oh, that's truth. That's 99.9% of the people in here. The 0.1%, you're lying. Maybe you've been in the backseat of that car too long with that boyfriend or girlfriend. But we're innocent. It's okay. We won't do anything. You're human. You were made to do something. That's the truth. You stay in that backseat long enough, you're going to do something. So I don't know where I was going. Just get out. That's for somebody tonight. Get out of that backseat. Run. I don't even know. Snowy day. Christmas. Amen. Fourth observation, Benaiah. So we know Benaiah attacked it before it attacked him. We know that Benaiah dug a pit. We know that Benaiah chose a snowy day, so he had a strategy, a new strategy, a different strategy, a difficult strategy. But then like everything, it's not just a strategy. We actually have to make a decision to confront. Fourth observation is Benaiah confronted the lion. This man is nuts. Like, he digs a pit. I'm like, why don't you just throw a spear at it? Like, why don't you just throw, I don't know, there's all kinds of other ways, if it's in a pit and it can't get out, that you can defeat this thing. But Benaiah's like, listen, I got to defeat this thing. But I got to get up front and personal with it. I think maybe Benaiah was trying to teach any other lion in that area to fear man. Benaiah was trying to set an example for any other enemy that was going to come into that territory. Not just a lion, but the enemies of his people. Because I bet you that story spread. How do I know it? Because it's in a Bible that I'm reading thousands of years later. So if the story could spread to billions and billions of people, you better believe it spread to neighboring villages of the enemy. So the enemy said this, hey, listen, we're not going there because a guy named Benaiah lives there. He trapped a lion. He didn't throw a rock at it. He went down into the pit and he looked the lion in the eye. Animals have this thing. We even have this thing called fight or flight. If you put an animal in a space where it cannot flee, it's going to fight. It doesn't submit. Unless it's your house pet, it won't submit. I'm serious. They don't know that. It's fight or flight. And if it can't flee, it's going to fight. You ever cornered a cat and it can't flee? It will scratch your eyes out. And that's a cat. I'm talking about a lion. I've cornered chickens before and they're crazy. Legitimately. I caught a rabbit once and that thing almost killed me. That's a fluffy rabbit. Imagine what a giant lion's going to do. It's not going to cuddle you. It's not going to lay down and say, you know what? You win. I'll leave. That thing is going to rip your face off. But Benaiah says this, I have to. He says, I can't defeat it the conventional way. Because if I do it the way that everybody else can do it, then the enemy will still think that he can come and attack me and steal and take. So I'm going to do what nobody else is doing. So I can instill fear in the enemy. So next time he thinks about coming after me, they're going to pass by that pit. And it's going to remind them of the people that live in this place are not ordinary people. They get a little bit more boldness and strength on the inside of them. That if I'm going to attack him, it's not going to end well for us. So Benaiah faces this thing. He confronts this thing eye to eye with a lion and he kills it. Number five. He doesn't just confront the enemy. He kills the enemy. Band can come up. Because it's not just about confronting. It's not just about talking. My goal, my prayer tonight, the last Sunday night of 2016, is not just to get you to a place where you see your enemy. It's not just to get you in a pit to defeat your enemy. It's to help you kill your enemy. When you kill something, it cannot come back to life again. I know that's deep. So the goal is not to scare it. He could have scared it. I watch a show called Mountain Men. Of course I do. And this show is, there's a guy in Montana, and that's what people pay him to do, is he finds mountain lions, but he doesn't kill them. He just scares them off the property. And it works to an extent. But if you don't kill it, it's just going to go and kill something or somebody else. So you might be able to scare it, but it's still going to find somebody else. So that's why the lions in your life are not meant to be scared away. They're meant to be killed. So that the next person that's facing a lion like that, when you sit down with them for coffee, you're not telling them how to scare it. You're telling them how to kill it. You're not telling them how to scare away that addiction. You're not telling them how to scare away that bad relationship. You're telling them how to kill that thing. You're telling them, listen, I've been there. I dug a pit. I confronted. And I killed. So why don't we stand to our feet tonight? See, the lion-like hero set him up for the lion hero. The lion set him up for the Egyptian. A man of great height, 5 cubits tall, and the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff. He confronted a man with a spear like a weaver's beam with a little staff in his hand. Why? Because he was just modeling after his king. He did just what his king did. If you know anything about David, David stepped on the battlefield. The Bible says he had a sling and stones, but he also had a staff. Benaiah remembers the stories of King David. Benaiah remembers what his leader did. So maybe you're a leader in this place tonight. Maybe you want to be a leader. We have to defeat those lions. We have to defeat those giants. We have to defeat those insecurities, that compromise. Because what we're doing is we are making a way for everybody else after us to follow. So when they fight it, oh, I remember. I remember what my leader did. I remember what my pastor did. I remember what my connect leader did. I remember what my youth leader did. I remember what Gabe did. I remember because he faced the same thing, and I remember how he did it. So now they can step on the same battlefield and defeat that giant that would have taken him out, but it's no longer going to take him out because they remembered. I know there's some people in here, you've fought some battles, you've won some battles. Please don't keep them secret. Please. We overcome. Blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony. Your testimony is setting somebody else up for a miracle. It is too good to be kept silent. It is too good to be kept to yourself. What have you defeated? Tell everybody. What have you overcome? Tell us. Tell us. Because there might be some people searching for it. There might be some people searching for the answer, searching for how to overcome it, and you got the answer. Help us. Instruct us. Teach us. I'm talking about me. Teach me. Help me. I realize there's a lot of things that I don't know. And I want to learn from your victory, from your lions, from your bears, from your giants. How did you take him out? Teach me so we can teach others. Tonight, I know there's 2 groups of people in here. And it's going to encapsulate every single person. But there's some of us, you have a lion right now in your life. Compromise, maybe. Maybe a sexual addiction. Maybe an addiction to a drug. Maybe an addiction to painkillers. Maybe an addiction to alcohol. Maybe insecurity in your life. And can I tell you, when God looks at you, he doesn't do this. Well, this one's a lot worse than... He doesn't do that. How do I know that? Because when he died on the cross, all was covered. There's not one that's too great for him to heal or forgive. But in our lives, we see things as bigger and badder and greater. But God just sees it as done. It is finished. What's it? All. Everything. Every struggle, every lion, every bear, every addiction, everything that you're facing, everything that you're gonna face, whatever it is in your life, he has defeated it. He has set you up for success. So the end, last 12 minutes of 2016 at C3 San Diego, why don't we defeat some lions? Why don't we bring some things down? Why don't tonight we just dig some pits for the next few minutes? Why don't we do that? We're going to worship. We're going to worship for 10 minutes. I know it's crazy, but we're crazy here. You can get rid of this delicious glass of water. Don't drink it, anything. There's a bug in it. So we're gonna worship for the last 10 minutes. And I want you to do this. As the band sings a couple songs, I want you to make your way forward if you want to and feel comfortable to. In just a minute. I want you to make your way forward. I want you to dig a pit. Maybe your seat's your jam. Maybe you like your seat and that's your happy place. And just dig a pit in your seat. I just know for me, I got to come forward. Because if I stay where I stay where I'm at. But that's me personally. Maybe you can deal with it there. Deal with it there. But I want us to dig some pits. I want us to confront the lion, and let's kill the lion tonight. 2016, let's kill it before it becomes a problem. Let's kill it before it becomes an issue. Let's deal with it before it deals with us. Why don't we do that? Listen, my God can do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. There is nothing too great for him. There is nothing too far gone for him to resurrect. Listen, he lets people die and then resurrects them again just to show us that even if you're dead and gone, I can resurrect that thing. Even if you think all hope is lost, if your heart is still beating, even if it's not, he can still do a miracle. So what does that mean? That means every person tonight, God can do a miracle in your life. You got to believe it. You got to step into it. So we're going to defeat some lions. So I'm going to pray. So lift your hands up tonight. And I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to open up this altar. We're going to worship. And then I'm going to pray for people just so the ushers know what's going to happen, which is just a simple thing. It's in the Bible all the time. The Bible says that they laid their hands on them and they recovered. They laid their hands on the sick and they recovered. So I'm just going to put my hand on your head. Not weird. I'm not going to punch you. Unless, you know, God tells me to, and then it's got to be obedient. But I'm gonna pray for you, and I believe there's going to be a transaction. There's going to be an encounter. This is going to be a confrontation. But there's going to be a victory tonight. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'll have some of the team come and pray for you as well if there's a ton of people that come out, depending on where we're at with time. But I just want us to spend a moment. Why don't you close your eyes, lift your hands tonight. God, I declare right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, victory. Victory comes before the end of 2016. Breakthrough happens now. Addictions broken now. Failures disappearing now. Insecurities fleeing now. Anything, any problem, any issue, fear disappearing now in Jesus' mighty name. God, we declare that today the lions are confronted and the lions are defeated. That we deal with the problem before the problem becomes an issue. God, I thank you that we are going to dig a pit tonight. We're going to face that thing and we're going to defeat that thing. For every hand that is lifted up, for every person who needs to defeat a lion for themselves and every person tonight who needs to defeat a lion for somebody else. God, I pray for the strength to fight it, for the strength to defeat it, for the strength to not give up, to not run from it, but the strength to deal with it until it is done. God, I thank you for the spirit of "it ends here" to be on every person tonight. God, we thank you that you have spoken this word to every single one of us, including myself tonight. And God, I pray that it would not stay here with us, but God, it would leave here with us. God, that we would defeat the lions in our lives so we can defeat the lions in our friends' lives, our neighbors' lives, our schools' lives, our colleges' lives, our workplaces' lives, our future families' lives, our children's lives, our great grandchildren's lives. God, for every person tonight, God, I declare that today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of the miraculous. Today is a day of healing. Today is a day where you're going to do exceedingly abundantly above all they can ask or think. God, we thank you that your hand is not short, that it cannot save. We thank you that we are not below, God, but we are above and not beneath. We are the head and we are not the tail. We are victorious, not defeaters. God, we thank you that tonight you are bringing victory in every life, in every person, in every circumstance, in every problem. God, we declare that tonight our God is greater. Our God is bigger. His name is victorious. There is no other name. We thank you, God, that you said it is finished. So we declare again that it is finished. The addiction is finished. The stronghold is finished. That thing is finished. That fear is finished in Jesus' name. Come on, right now, if you want to come, you come. Let's defeat that lion. Let's defeat that thing in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.